They thought things would be different, but a first-round loss.
And a sweep. Boston, four in a row. After they lost in five to the Nets last year, they answer back with their eighth series sweep in franchise history.
And the Boston Celtics sweep the Nets, as you heard there. Final score last night, 116-112. The Celtics advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals by surviving the final 2 minutes and 38 seconds without their star, Jason Tatum, who fouled out. Celtics win 116-112. Tatum still had 29 to lead the way. Jaylen Brown, 22. Marcus Smart, 20 points, 11 assists. Kevin Durant had 39, but took in 31 shots to get 39, 13 and 31. Kyrie Irving with 20 points on 6 of 13 shooting. And if you want to point to a reason why the Nets lost last night, yes, you could point to Durant having to take that many shots to get 39. You can point to Kyrie Irving only taking 13 shots. Or you could point to a professional basketball player who is paid seven figures to make free throws with nobody guarding him. He was one of 11. I'm talking about Nick Claxton, who missed 18 free throws in the series, and all the games were pretty close. And remember how the series started? The Nets were going to win, and Jason Tatum he cut to the bucket. Marcus Smart gave him a great pass, a little spin around to Kyrie Irving to lay it up at the buzzer. The series was tight, but the Celtics win all four of the games close, and free throws a big part of that. And Claxton was one of 11 last night, and the Nets lost by four.
That's going to be the difference in a game. It can be the difference in a game if you make those shots, right?
Close games, absolutely. So the Celtics move on, and the Nets are left to answer questions. And let's be honest about this. I mean, let's just be honest about this. Kyrie Irving basically blew up this team this year. Now, you can sit here and say Kyrie Irving has the right to, with all the COVID mandates and so forth and so on, he had the right not to be vaccinated. That's true. He chose not to be vaccinated. But the NBA had their rules, which, as any business organization, you are allowed to set your own rules, which some people in this country don't understand. you get all riled up about somebody, you have to wear a mask. Well, that infringes on my rights, but why don't you go in shirtless? You don't argue that every day. You don't go in pantless, do you? I mean, they're called rules. And now if you don't want to abide by those rules, then fine. Then don't go into those establishments. Go somewhere else that allows you to do what you want to do. There are rules. There are laws that you're supposed to follow as well. You break those laws, guess what? You go to jail.
Yeah.
Go to court, go to jail. Now, so you still have the freedom to decide whether you want to break those laws. You have the freedom to decide, hey, I'm not going to follow those rules. You have the freedom to be upset with those rules, but you also have the freedom to get vaccinated or not vaccinated. And that is a personal choice. Kyrie Irving chose not to be vaccinated. He knew all the rules. He knew everything that was going on. And he decided that was more important to him than playing basketball. And that's one part of the equation. But what it did for his team is absolutely killed their chances of doing anything this year. He missed so many games because he couldn't play at certain – it wasn't just at home games. There was other places he couldn't go and play. And then towards the very end, they lifted some mandates, so he got to play towards the very end. And they never found any kind of cohesion and gel. And the main reason was because of Kyrie Irving's personal decision not to get vaccinated. Now, let me make this clear. I'm not telling you he should or should not have gotten vaccinated. But the fact of the matter is that the rest of his team did. He did not. And that was a big part in why they struggled and never found. I mean, they end up being the seventh seed with the talent they had. Of course, if Kyrie plays every game this year, they're not the seventh seed. He's that good of a player. But he chose to do what he did. He knew the rules and so forth and so on. He didn't, like, to his credit, he didn't scream and complain and whine and bellyache and go kicking and throwing things at businesses and, you know, rolling down on the floor like a five-year-old, like some people in society have done. He was just like, you know, this is what I stand by. This is what, and I give him credit for that. He has the right to do that. But there is fallout for his team. And that's the fallout.
Yeah,
for they
sure.
Got swept.
Yeah. Fallout is your 0-13 start and, yep, and all this other stuff that happened that you know, you were just not good this year because you didn't have your full roster. You didn't have your full top-tier talent playing on the team this year. And so, yeah, again, it's a decision that Kyrie made, and I'm no matter who makes the decision of how they want to go about that, whether they do or don't want to get vaccinated, I'm not going to judge that part of it, but you can see that there are repercussions with any kind of decision like that. If your franchise, your organization, if your teammates are all okay with that. And I'm sure they're disappointed today, but I don't think they're going to put the blame on him for that if he didn't want to get vaccinated. So, but there are those repercussions, consequences that come with that for the greater good, I guess, for the whole team that's trying to accomplish something in the end.
The Nets took a gamble that said that talent would trump all.
Yep.
I mean, Durant's a little more consistent than the other guys, but there's still stuff with Durant. First of all, it was the injuries.
Let's go back to Harden. He was on this team to start the year and demanded out. Yeah. That was part of the problem, too. In fairness to Kyrie Irving, I shouldn't say everything about Kyrie Irving. By the way, you said they started 0-13. They did not.
I thought they did.
No, they were 2-3, 3-3, 4-3, 5-3, 6-3. They started 7-3, 7-4. They were 10-4, 10-5.
They did have a stretch.
They were 14-5 to start the year when they had Harden and Durant, and Irving wasn't even playing.
Okay.
But then Harden blew it up because he wanted out. So then they traded him, and of course then Irving wasn't able to play, so you lose two superstars, not just one. And then they had a skid of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in a row. That might have been what you were thinking
of. Yeah, I was thinking of
11-game losing streak.
Lost a lot of games.
In January and February, and that was when you had the whole thing about Harden wanting out and so forth and so on. So in fairness to Irving, Harden didn't help anything, obviously. And then Irving on top of his situation, and then as you said, Durant – and I'm not going to put much on Durant. I mean, there was too much on his shoulders. I mean, for crying out loud, he didn't have enough help. But it's not his fault. The guy missed 10 free throws. But but Durant, I mean, he's supposed to be the best of the bunch, and he was not as good as he needed to be in the series. I agree with you there.
Yeah. And, well, like I said, they were going to gamble that
those
talent
three.
Trumps
yep,
all.
Absolutely.
But two-thirds of that talent, especially Harden and Kyrie, all come with question. They come with question marks about their personality, their commitment, this, that, and the other. And I'm not even 100% sure, even if the vaccination thing worked out for Kyrie or if he did get vaccinated, I'm not so sure there's not some other issue with Kyrie down the road.
No, I agree with you.
And so
I agree with you, but I don't think they go as a 7 seed, and I don't think they lose first round.
No.
That's my prediction. They'd still be playing if they had that all figured out.
And then, you know, because Harden is a problem, the trade, you know, okay, they got something out of a trade for Harden, you think.
Well, one of the guys hasn't
just
played
another,
for him yet.
And another,
Ben Simmons
but he's just,
hasn't played yet.
Yeah. Just another problem.
Todd just said the Nets also lost without they have Ben Simmons. Yeah. He didn't play a single second for them.
Right.
So you can't count that.
When they traded, they thought they were going to get something, but it was just another head case or another problem.
Or who knows what's
going on. And so they didn't get anything out of him. Durant was injured, so you couldn't get past the 7 seed, or you couldn't get any better than the 7 seed or the play-in tournament.
They had to get hot just to get to the 7 seed.
Right. And so, you know, things like that happen. You get a 2 seed. The Celtics just happen to be gelling. They might be playing
the
best team, or they're playing the best.
Yeah.
They're definitely saying they're playing the best, and that just happened to be the matchup, and the Nets got beat.
Well, you know, when you end up being a 7 seed, you're going to play a really good team, and that's what they had to win their last 4 games of the year just to make sure they were hosting the 7-8 matchup, you know? So, and then they beat the Cavs, and they didn't look great doing that. So the Nets, that's too sad. The Nets are out. They swept by the Celtics. Celtics are the better team, and it goes to show you that a team is better than just a couple of superstars. And by the way, speaking of that, what looked like a potential sweep is now a very interesting series. The 76ers, who are the kings of collapsing. Joel Embiid, in fairness, has a torn ligament in his thumb. He's playing through it. He's going to have surgery after the season. There's that guy again, James Harden, that pops up in this conversation. I believe somebody on the show talked about how he is a problem and he's not a guy you want on your team. And so here we are. The honeymoon's over. We told you it would be. Harden had a couple great games to start. Oh, this is awesome. Embiid's joking about practicing step back, fadeaway three-pointers and all that. The Sixers lost last night at home, and they weren't really in the game, which is pathetic because they had a chance to close out the Raptors, who were without their best player, Fred VanVleet, with a hip injury. The Raptors have been banged up this whole series. They're down 3-0. Now it's 3-2. They just rolled the Sixers last night in Philadelphia, 103-88. Game 6 now. It goes to Toronto coming up on Thursday night. And Pascal Siakam, out of the way, with a near triple-double for the Raptors. Embiid had 20 points, 11 rebounds, and he's complaining about officiating after the game, after he told Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Raptors, to shut up about officiating early in the series because Embiid was getting tons of free throws. Now Embiid's doing the same thing he told Nick Nurse to shut up about, whining about the officiating because now he's not getting all those calls. Now he's throwing shade at his teammate, James Harden, after the game last night, saying, we need to be more aggressive. They asked him about Harden only taking 11 shots last night, and he said, well, you need to talk to coach about that. We need to be more aggressive. When they double me, we need to attack the ball instead of just standing around on the perimeter. What do you know? Embiid and Harden already are having problems. They're throwing shade at each other. You knew it was coming. Well, Harden had actually thrown it at Embiid, but Embiid did last night. And in fairness to Embiid, I can't disagree with him. James Harden last night was 15 points on 4 of 11 shooting. He's averaging just 18 points a game in the series, shooting 37%, 31% from 3, and he's not even looking to be aggressive and score and drive it because, honestly, I think he's not fast enough to get by people anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, he's got a lot of wear on the tires. He's played a lot of minutes, and he can't beat guys off the dribble, so what's he going to do? He's trying to distribute, which is fine, but you weren't brought in to distribute. You were brought in to be Embiid's Robin, to his Batman. And the Sixers suddenly now, if they lose Game 6 to Toronto, can you imagine the horrible angst you're going to hear from the crowd in Game 7 in Philadelphia and the boos they're going to get if they lose Game 7 and blow a 3-0 lead? It is very conceivable right now that would happen. They are reeling a little bit. Now, I'm not going to say they are going to do that, but Embiid's banged up. Harden's not playing like he should. Sixers traded a lot to get Harden. And guess what? They got to make a decision to give him a ton of money here this offseason. Give him the big max extension, which I've said it when they traded for him. You don't trade for him not to give him that. But if he's not performing like this, why would you double down and make it worse? So the Sixers got all kinds of problems right now. And then last night, Luka's back, and that was a fun game to watch. Luka went nuts. He had 33 and 13 and did a few shimmies. He was feeling it. Mavericks blow out the Jazz 102-77, and the Jazz now are one game away from extinction as the Mavericks are up 3-2. And tonight, Atlanta's at Miami at 6 o'clock. Heat lead that series 3-1. Chance to close it out on NBA TV. And in two critical game fives tonight, Minnesota's at Memphis at 6:30 on TNT. That's been a really interesting series where people are actually running on the floor and getting arrested. Twice.
Trying to glue themselves to the floor, and then the one guy just... The security guy was on the floor before he was, it looked like.
Well, it was a gal that ran onto the floor the second time. It was not a guy onto the floor.
Got
that
tackled?
That was a gal.
Oh, okay.
That was a woman.
I just saw it from one video of it, and it looked like a dude jumped out onto the floor.
It was a woman.
Yeah.
She was a rag doll pulled off the floor, and she looked like she was 80 pounds. Because they're protesting Glenn Taylor and stuff. I don't even know the full story.
I just remember the one that tried to glue herself
in game
to the
one.
Floor. Yeah.
Well,
that's the only one I saw, extensive.
This person got tackled on the floor, was sitting right behind Glenn Taylor. She cut right by Glenn Taylor to get on the floor. And they started filming the person right next to him, and the security guard was looking at him the entire time, knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Somebody tipped him off. So that series is wild just by what's happening off the court. And that was a series where a team blew a 26 and a 25-point lead. And New Orleans and Phoenix tonight, who knows? I mean, Phoenix needs – I mean, they're on the ropes here. They're at home tonight, and they got blown out last game. And Phoenix, without Devin Booker, not the same team. That's a 2-2 tie tonight on TNT. I expect the Suns to win. They should. But the Pelicans are playing with house money, got nothing to lose right now. This is the Suns that won 64, and New Orleans won 36 games this year. I mean, I just insane that the Pelicans could end up winning the series.
I mean, Chris Paul. I mean, there's nothing bad to say about Chris Paul's career on the court, but when you put it in the hands of somebody who's 38, you have good days and you have bad days.
Game three, he saved them.
Yeah.
Game three, he took over, scored 13 in the last 15 points. He was dominant. They couldn't stop the mid-range jumper. Game four, they were just blown out.
Mm-hmm. And the Pelicans have put two young guys on him. Yeah, they switch back and forth. In game four, they put two younger guys on him. Try to wear him down. And like I said, you're going to have some good days left with Chris Paul for sure because he's one of the best to ever do it. But he's 38 or 30 or
age
somewhere around there.
Up to you.
And you're going to have some bad days with that, too.
And you can't carry the team at
that
age.
Without Devin Booker.
Right.
I mean,
you can't. He might be able to get through this series, but
he's
I don't know.
But he's not going to lead them to promised land without having a full deck of cards there.
Not at this age.
If Book's not playing, they're not doing anything.
And then so now you're asking Mikal Bridges, who made a nice leap from last year to this year.
He's a very good player.
But you're asking him to make another leap to being an alpha, and I'm not sure he's quite ready. And then
DeAndre Ayton's the guy.
Ayton should be the guy that does it, but we'll see.
Game three, he was. He had 30 points. In game four, not so much. So that's a huge game tonight between the Suns and the Pelicans. Game five in Phoenix. All right, local sports, Dusty.
Yeah, quite a bit from yesterday. We'll get to that first and then look ahead to today's schedule. And in softball yesterday, the Beloit Lady Trojans getting a sweep over Sacred Heart as they stay unbeaten in NCAA play as they're now 8-0 in the league, 9-3 overall. They won a 12-2. Six-inning game in the first contest and then dominated the second one 15-0 in four innings. So Beloit again picking up two wins there yesterday in softball. High school track and field, the Phillipsburg Invitational. Girls side of things, Beloit won the team championship, 116 points. TMP was second at 112. Individual gold for Smith Center, Serena Armconnect in the 1600, and Gracie Enix won the 3200. 4x8 team won gold for Smith Center as well. Tatum Seifert of Beloit winning the gold medal in both the shot put and discus, and Cameron Hutchinson of Smith Center winning the javelin first place medal. Also on the boys' side, Norton won the team championship, Smith Center second. Individual gold medals from the area, Wyatt Rockman of Beloit in the 800, Bentley Montgomery of Smith Center in the 1600. Garrett Warner took first in the 300-meter hurdles for Smith Center. 4x400-meter relay for Beloit in first place. Grady Seifert of Beloit winning both the shot put and discus gold medals. You can find the full results for the Phillipsburg Invitational at ncksports.com. High school golf yesterday, the Concordia Invitational. Concordia winning the team title. Hayden Dvorak of Concordia in first place with a 74. Kayla Burks of Beloit finished fifth place. Mason Tissell of Smith Center tied for seventh. And Kaylin Chancellor of Beloit in 10th. Full results for Concordia Invitational also at ncksports.com. And then at the Chase Invitational, they finally got that one in after a couple of rescheduled dates. Zach Rose of Tipton Sylvan Lucas winning the first place medal at 71 on the day, winning a tiebreak over Josh Towner of Tipton, who finished second. Coven Schroeder of Tipton finished in third place. William Rudolph of Tipton Sylvan finishing in fourth place. Tipton winning the team championship, 292 on the day. Again, local sports coming up today. Track and field, the Wilson Invitational at Russell at 10:30. Lakeside, Tipton, Sylvan Lucas, and Lincoln are competing from the area in that event. Also, Washington County Invitational at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Pike Valley will be there. Rock Hills Golf Invitational this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Lakeside, Tipton, Sylvan Lucas, St. John's, Rock Hills, Southern Cloud, Pike Valley competing there. And then in baseball today, Lincoln, Sylvan Lucas hosting Ellsworth at 4 o'clock. Concordia's at Abilene in both baseball and softball at 4:30, and the Sylvan Lucas Lincoln softball team at Pratt Skyline this afternoon with a doubleheader starting at 4 o'clock. So let's look at the schedule for today. As always, the latest in local sports at ncksports.com.
All right, the Royals back in action tonight. They'll be in Chicago to take on the White Sox. White Sox 6-9. Royals are 5-9. Royals have lost four in a row. Daniel Lynch on the hill said, you know, one start that was pretty good except for a couple home run balls he gave up, and then last start was very solid. So we'll see how he fares tonight as he tries to be that guy to snap a four-game skid for the boys in blue. Some big news for KU football. It looked like really bad news, but now it's turning into good news. Despite sharing his intentions to transfer from KU football last week, wide receiver Lawrence Arnold has decided to remain at the university and on the football team following conversations with coach Lance Leipold. Arnold, who will be a redshirt sophomore in the fall, started 9 games last season for the Jayhawks and played a very important role in the passing game, and he figured to be one of the Jayhawks' top targets again this season. Arnold never formally entered the transfer portal. He announced he was going to, so it doesn't prevent a player from transferring, but it makes it easier to be recruited by other schools when you enter the transfer portal. Arnold tied for second on the Jayhawks last year, 27 receptions, had 3 touchdown catches, 4th in receiving yards, and spent much of spring practice as one of KU's top wide receivers. 6 foot, 397 pounds, a tall, experienced target the Jayhawks really don't have other than him. So that's huge that they are able for him to change his mind after a talk with Coach Leipold, and he'll be back for KU, and that's huge for the KU Jayhawk offense. Hey, big day today. Jason's birthday, Dusty.
I saw that. Happy birthday, man.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So what should we do to Jason on his birthday? I mean, what should we do for Jason on his birthday? Did I say it? That was just came out wrong.
Boy.
He shares. He caught me off guard here this morning. I was around a few minutes late because one of my kids overslept, and so I was making sure that he got up and ready to go to school. And I come in here, and I sit down, and Jason just blasts me with this information and says, my doppelganger, Channing Tatum, is having a birthday today. And I'm like, and I didn't even put that together. I didn't know it was even his birthday. That's the thing. When he said that, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. He just happened to see Channing Tatum having a birthday, and he's doppelganger. I'm like, dude, I totally see the resemblance. I don't know why and how after a month. I and Dusty have not pointed that out. That is amazing stuff. Then I looked on my phone, and then it said Jason Broadfoot's birthday today. I'm like, oh, now a little bit slow on the uptake today. Put two and two together, eventually get the four. So Jason and Channing Tatum and Kevin James. Kevin or I'll
James.
Have a birthday today. Yeah. The king of Queens. Jason's the king of his own castle. Right. Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. You do anything special or super exciting for your birthday?
Nah. It's middle of the week. It's not 21 anymore.
Hey, you're in your middle of the 40s now, officially.
Yeah.
45. Yeah. 45. Yeah. It closes the gap on me just slightly. And I'll extend the lead when I get to January of next year.
Say it out loud and it just...
It hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was taught at my education at Waukini Trigger Community High School, as Dusty went as well. Maybe they taught him differently. When you round up 5 to 10, so,
yeah.
So now 45 is... Whoa. You're closer to 50 than you are to 40, I guess.
Oh.
Now, see, technically that's not true. Or is it? Yeah, technically it isn't true. You'd have to... I don't know. I have to think about that for a second. I perplex myself.
Yeah.
But 45, I was told, oh, you know, 44, you're still in your 40s. 45, you're pushing 50. So, yeah. That's what we're here for, Jason, to lift you up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for that.
Who needs enemies when you have friends like Wade and Dusty, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. The best part about getting older, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, is when you talk to other people older than you and they tell you it's not going to get any better. Now, those people are just cruel. Who needs enemies when you have people that you hang around with that tell you, oh, you're a spring chicken, you're a young pup, and you're like, all right, that's cool. And then so you're starting to feel good about yourself, right? All right, I'm 15 years younger than this guy or this gal that I'm talking to. Sweet. And they're in their 50s or 60s, even the 70s. Oh, you're a young pup, you got a long way to go. And then in the same breath, they pause and go, it doesn't get any better. You just erased all the good faith you put into that whole statement.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
When it comes to my guys that are about, 25, 26 right now that I converse with, I'm definitely that guy.
You are that guy.
For sure, because I'm not trying to let them shine right now, you know?
No, you gotta hold down the fort as
They complain about some of the, craziest things, like, God, I wish I was still 25, 26 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like... You're complaining about this, it's going to get rough for you here in about 5 to 10 years.
Yes. Just wait. It all catches up to you. Father Time is never, ever lost. All right? Nobody's beaten Father Time, that's for sure.